book of Luke, as we've been doing now, book of Luke, Luke chapter 17, Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. I don't know, sometimes a message is for a whole crowd, and sometimes it's just maybe for one or two, and the Lord will do that as well. I'm thinking this may be the latter in this case, but just pray the Lord have His will in the message here. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 22. Verse 22. And He said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven and shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. But first must He suffer many things, be rejected of this generation. The context of this right here, if you notice back there in verse 24, the last portion of that says, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. And whenever we see that term, the Son of Man, in reference to Christ, we know automatically that's not talking about the church age. Okay? Just get things straight, know our Bible now. That's talking about when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had showed up physically. He'd showed up visibly. Jesus was walking on this earth just like any man, but He was not just like any man. But He walked this earth for 33 and a half years. The last 3.5 years in His public ministry to Israel as their Messiah. Here He was. Here was the answer for Israel. Here's what they had been wanting and desiring for as long as their nation had been in existence. A prophet like unto Moses shall God raise up unto you. A reference to Jesus Christ. And for all of Israel's existence, they had looked for, they had longed for, they had desired that day of the coming of the Son of Man. And here He is, the Messiah to Israel. Verse 25, but first must He suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He's talking about, you're going to one day be looking for Me. You're going to one day be desiring for that day when I am here. Why is He saying that? Because He already knows He's going to be rejected by Him. Who was Israel looking for? Their Messiah. Who is it that's standing right in front of them? Where's their answer? It's right in front of them. The answer's right here. And they're looking for it everywhere else. But the answer was right there. You see, they weren't seeking their Savior when He was right there in front of them. That's a sad thing. And the problem with them was, is they were seeking the physical over the spiritual. We understand that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And they weren't doing it. What were they? Look, verse 22. And He said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to what? See. See that thing? They were looking for something physical. They were looking for something visible. They were desperate to see. Verse 23. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. Others are going to come and get you to follow something other than the real answer. If you're not careful, that'll happen to you. The Bible says we're to be looking for something as God's people. If you're saved, the Bible says we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're now looking for. But before I was saved, I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I was looking for something. But I didn't know what I was looking for. I was seeking something, but I didn't know what I was seeking. And I was looking in the wrong places. You ever done this? I remember one time, while I was still in the Coast Guard, I had to get to work. I was running a little late. And I am running around the house everywhere. I'm looking at my dresser. I'm looking up where it's supposed to be. Looking on the coat rack. I'm looking out in my car. And I am getting mad. And I'm getting frustrated. You say, I thought you were saved. I know. But, you know, it still happens sometimes. And I am out there. I'm running all over. And finally, I come to my wife and I said, I gotta go and I can't find my hat. Where's my hat? And she starts laughing at me. And all of a sudden, it's one of those, when something like that happens, and all of a sudden you're just like, you realize all of a sudden that your face starts changing into that like of a donkey. Because guess what's right on top of my head? And the whole time I'm looking all over the place for my head. It was where we're supposed to be. And she just cracking up laughing. She just thought that was the funniest thing. I didn't think I was funny at all. I was late. But there was right in front of me the whole time. And you know what it is right now in this world? There's a lot of people, they're looking for something. And the answer is right in front of them the whole time. And Jesus Christ is right here to the nation of Israel, their Messiah, right there in front of them. They're seeking Him. They ain't finding Him. They ain't looking right. They ain't looking in the right place. And He goes on to tell them what's going to happen here in verse 24. If you look at that thing, He's talking about that tribulation period. You know what's going to happen? People are going to be looking. They ain't going to find Jesus. You know who they're going to find? The Antichrist. And they're going to think it's Jesus. What a terrible thing. Find 666 and think it's Jesus. And that's what the Bible says is going to happen. He says, go not after him. Don't follow him. Why? Oh, look what we found. Wrong answer. Jesus tells you, you better watch out. There's others out there. They're going to tell you, follow me. Others out there saying, follow me. But they ain't bringing you to the right answer. And there's plenty of people in this world right now, the Bible talks about, that are ever learning. But they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're seeking. But they're not seeking that which is right in front of them, if they would simply open their eyes. The Bible says there'll be wars and rulers of wars. Right? When the Antichrist comes, you know what he does? It says, when they shall say, peace and safety. That's how he gets them. Why? What are they looking for? They're looking for peace and safety. Why? They've got a problem. What's the problem? Wars. Rumors of wars. Terrorists. And you know how that works. The devil's smart. How many of you went out and bought something after you saw the commercial? You went and bought something that before the commercial you never even knew you needed. But man, you saw the commercial and you realized it slices, it dices, it does everything. Amen. It makes you skinny. It makes you good looking. Amen. Some of you could use that. Praise God. And then you've... This is the answer, amen. And you go and you, because they told you there was a problem. You didn't even realize there was a problem until they told you. See? Now that's what you call, if you know anything about history, you know that's what they call a false flag event. And what they do in politics and everything else is to get Americans to swallow stuff. Before you can swallow it, they first have to get you to want to swallow it. And so they convince you that there's a problem. Say I wanted you to take medicine, but you were healthy. Would you take it? But if I convince you that without it you'll die, you'll take it. Right? We were talking about that this morning with the devil trying to get Eve to swallow that fruit. He had to first convince her there's a problem. See? You're not what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be as gods. So here, Oh, there's a problem. What's the solution? Here's the solution. That's how that thing works. They call that problem reaction solution. And that's how they sell everything these days. And that's been going on for years now. We signed something called the Monroe Doctrine. Who knows what the Monroe Doctrine is? Now, some of you, you went to Bible Institute and you took American history and you knew it and you got it right on your final, and I'm asking you right now and you already forgot it. Amen. Amen. What? What it said is, we will not entangle in the affairs of Europe, and Europe, you stay away from our affairs over here. And all of a sudden, here comes World War I. And what did we do in World War I? We had to go against the Monroe Doctrine. You know how we did it? You know what they did? It was called the sinking of the Lusitania. And because of the sinking, you know what you did? You created a problem. So that there'd be a reaction. So then you could bring in the solution. I say, okay, we learned our lesson from that. We'll never do that again. Here comes a man named Hitler. Here comes World War II. Well, we don't want to get involved. Roosevelt, no, we're not going to get involved. No, we're not going to get involved. All of a sudden, intelligence comes to Roosevelt saying that the Japanese are getting ready to bomb Pearl Harbor. And they act like they don't know about it. You can check that stuff out. That's historical fact. And you know what happened? Pearl Harbor got bombed, and we knew it was going to happen, and they let it happen. Why? To create the problem. Why? So then they could get the reaction to get the solution, and then everybody's signing up and ready to go. Let's go fight. They wouldn't have done that before without the problem. When it came to Vietnam, they're bringing people in there, and everybody's complaining about it, and what are we doing with police action over there, and we shouldn't do that, and all of a sudden you had the Gulf of Tonkin incident. You all familiar with that? Where supposedly a couple of our ships were shot at. You can look at it now and they even admit that nothing ever happened. They made the thing up to compel Americans to want to go to war in Vietnam. You say, what did they do? They created the problem to get the reaction, to get the solution. Here's a man, he stands up after he writes a book called Mein Kampf. And he says, Germany's got a problem. And I've got the solution. What was the problem? Those Jews. What was the solution? How could they get people to do that? Just convince them of the problem. And you can get them to buy the solution after you get the reaction that you already planned to get. Right? So here's the problem. America's free. America's the land of the free and the home of the brave. Americans aren't going to put up with tyranny. So you know what you do? You make sure you got a problem. You know those terrorists that are out on every corner to get you? They're out there right now. Be careful! They're trying to get on every plane in the country right now. Oh, you better watch out! Be watching out for the boogeyman! You say you don't believe in terror? Yeah. You know what you do? You keep them out of the country. Duh. They ain't going to do that. They're going to keep the borders wide open. Now, I'm trying to help some of you because you've been watching television and you forgot how to think. They're going to keep the borders wide open, right? So that any terrorist can walk in anytime they want, but then they're going to frisk you at the airport. Does that make sense? But you know what they do? They create a problem to get the desired reaction. You know what they can do now? Well, they can tap your phones. Now they can look at every single email, every website, your Facebook accounts. It's all open. It's all up there. They're putting video cameras everywhere. 1984, man. Orwellian society. America would never put up with that. They will now. Say why? You create the problem so that you can give the solution. Israel had a problem. You know what it was, though? They didn't see the problem as the real problem. They saw the problem as Caesar's in charge. We can't live the way we want to live as Jews. We need our Messiah to solve that problem. But when Jesus showed up, you know what he told them? He told them, fellas, that's not the real problem. You have to understand what the real problem is. Now, you know what they're doing now? They've decided that they want to just say, hey, this is just out in the just wild speculation on my part. But just say there's some people out there, who knows, probably not, but maybe there's a couple of people out there that for some reason want to get rid of your guns. I'm just probably never happened, but just speculating. How would they do it? They have to create the problem so they can get the reaction. Oh, then they got the solution. Turn your guns into the government because we're here to help. Trust us. You know what Americans say? We don't trust our government. That's why we have the guns. Now, what's happened? You see how they're flipping that thing around? Why? They create the problem. They don't tell you about all those times that there's people that are defending themselves and surviving robberies and protecting others from harm because they had a gun. They don't mention that stuff on the news. See? They're going to tell you the problem is the gun. The gun is not the problem. The problem is wicked people in a tyrannical government. That's always been the problem in society. Say, what's the real problem? I'll tell you what. You know what the real problem is? It was the same real problem that Israel had that they couldn't see. It's the same problem that the United States of America has that they can't see. It's the same problem that you have today. The problem that creates all the mess. There's only one problem, brethren, that creates all the problems, and the problem is sin. And the only cure for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what everybody's saying is there's a different problem. And so you need a different solution. Or maybe that is the problem. But you still need a different solution. And I'm here to tell you today the problem is sin. Look in Isaiah chapter 59 with me, please. Isaiah 59. The problem in my life is sin. The problem in your life is sin. You got a problem in the home? It's sin. You got the problems in a church? It's sin. You got a problem in a country? It's sin. Sin's the problem. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin, the curse. Christ, the cure. Amen. USSR says, oh, we've got a problem. What's the problem? It's the corporations. Well, how are we going to solve that? We'll get rid of all corporations and the government will run everything. Oh, that fixed it. See, there was a bigger problem than the corporations. Say, what was that? The government. So why? You know who runs governments? Sinners. Yeah. Yeah, that's who's running every government, is sinners. The founders of this country knew the problem. And they said, what you got to do is you got to limit as much as possible anything sinners can do to mess this thing up. Because you give them a chance and they'll do it. Amen. They knew something about man's problem. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. God's not the problem. See? Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, here's the problem. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What's the problem? Sin. What separates man from God? Sin. You could be saved and on your way right now to heaven, but you could be separated from God because of sin that you haven't confessed. You could be here right now and not be a Christian, think you're okay, and the reason you think you're okay is you're so far from God, you don't even realize the danger that you're in. Because of your sin. And that sin is what separates man from God. And there's only one thing that can fix that problem. And it's Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Amen? And so, there is a problem. But you know what some people want to do? They want to make believe the problem is something else. The problem is not really sin. The problem is self-image. Well, you know, just you don't feel good about yourself. You need to feel better about yourself. You need to have better self-esteem. You need to think positive. You need to realize that man is the measure of all things, and with man, all things are possible. And so, you just need to realize that there's things that have happened in your life that have hurt your self-image. And you just need to think better about yourself. Because after all, you are somebody. Now, you see how it's sold? See, the problem is you, but the way you fix you is by you feeling better about you. Now, you know what that's called? That's called an illusion. That's what that is. Because you're trying to make you feel better about your own sin and make believe it doesn't exist when you know it does. See? And you can't dress that up. You can't cover that. Do you know there's a reason we wear clothes? You know why? Because subconsciously, according to that Bible, you're ashamed of yourself. Little kids aren't. They run around with no clothes on and don't bother them a bit. Just like Adam and Eve in that garden. You know what happens? Sin creeps up. And then all of a sudden, you're shamed. You say, why? Because you're a sinner. There's the problem. Just identify the problem. You figure out the problem, you can get the solution. Some people say, oh, the problem is you just don't have enough religion. Yeah, you just need a little more religion. You need to turn over a new leaf. Huh? Now, here's the problem. If I take, say, a maple leaf, and I turn it over, do you know what it is now? It's still a maple leaf. You see, religion can't do nothing. You know what religion is? Religion is taking a hog and taking him out of the hog pen and showering him off and scrubbing him down with Ajax and then putting a tuxedo on him and sitting him at the dinner table. That's religion. And then you know what's going to happen the first time you turn your back? It's going right back where it came from. Because you ain't fixed nothing. Religion can't fix it. See, what's the problem? The problem's sin. You can dress it up. You can try to cover it, but you haven't fixed the problem. Do you know what the cure for the common cold is? Huh? I can't hear you. A flu shot. That's the flu. Somebody tell me the cure for the common cold. What? You're so negative. No, there is none. There is no cure. So you know what you do? Because there's no cure? You try to cover up the symptoms the best you can to get by with it. You know what most people are doing with sin? That's what they're doing. They're just, I'll take some aspirin, I'll take some sinus stuff, or I'll spray this, or I'll take me some vitamin C. I like getting those airborne things. I get the generic kind, and I just start drinking, you know, put them like an Alka-Seltzer and let them and get that. And that helps you kind of get over it a little quicker and, you know, build up your immune system. But there's no cure. They say they can put a man on the moon, but they can't cure the common cold. They ain't figured out a cure. They have identified the problem. They don't know a cure. So all they can do is mask the symptoms. See? They can't cure death. They can't cure it. Oh, say, no, we cured it. We cured this guy's cancer. No, you didn't. He still died 17 years later. You can cure anything. And then they get him and they put him in a box and they make him all look nice and they put the makeup on him and he lays there. He just looks pretty good. Look at old Henry looking there and he looks pretty good, doesn't he? Poor old Susie. Boy, she looks pretty good. I can't remember how many times I've heard that. I can't stand that. You know, they're laying in a coffin. They're having a... They look pretty good. They're dead. You know, what do you mean they look pretty? They're dead. They look... I mean, come on. You know what they do? They cover it up. They dress it up. Death isn't that bad. Sin isn't that bad. See, just dress it up. Just cover it up.
See? Say, why? So you won't seek the solution. Because there's a cure. There's a cure. And here's Israel with their Messiah right in front of them the whole time. They missed it. Why? They didn't even identify what the real problem was. They were pointing out here. The Pharisees are pointing over here. And the Sadducees are pointing over there. And they're all pointing over here. The problem's over here. Then they start pointing at Jesus and saying He's the problem. And if you're not careful, you know what I've seen many people do? They'll start taking that finger and start pointing it at God. And saying He's the problem. He's not the problem. He came to fix the problem. The problem's sin. That's the problem. You know what they do now? They say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to educate you. And if you get enough knowledge and enough education, that'll fix the whole problem. Because most of these real bad people, you know, we realize they're uneducated. And you know what they're creating in our society? A bunch of educated criminals that are harder to catch. Good one. Good coming up with that one. That worked out well. They ain't fixing anything. They're not fixing your carnal nature. They're not fixing your lusts. They're covering things up and trying to make them look like something they're not. But they haven't cured a thing. You got a problem. The problem's sin. The problem in America is sin. It's not a lack of education. Lord knows. And the more these people know, the less they know. Amen. Some of the, God give me grace, help me have charity, some of the dumbest people I know are people with degrees. Amen. And you watch so many of those people, they'll go to college for 4 years, and then they'll come out and say, boy, I didn't realize how much I really didn't know. Well, what did you learn? Well, not a whole lot, but... Now listen, if you need to go to college to get a degree, I understand it so that you can get a certain job and you got to have it to get the job. I understand all that. But don't go to college to get an education. You're not going to get that. Listen, you want to get an education, you want to learn, it's called a book. Get it and read it. Amen. Get with other people and ask them questions about things. That's how you learn. You're not going to go to a college, that's for sure. Listen, they right now have the answer to all the problems with education in this country. Because they have now what's called the internet. What college class can you not be taught over the internet? Think about it. What? How to use the internet. Okay. But once you graduate beyond that, you should be okay, right? Then why do we still have all these colleges? You see, right now, they could offer education for nothing. Because if one guy could teach a class to millions of people, he could only have to charge $5 a piece and he'd make $5 million. They already know that, but they're already doing it over in India and other places. They ain't doing it in this country. Somebody's got the purse strings. As college costs continue to go higher and higher and more people are coming out with more and more and more debt. Well, we've got the answer to the problem. No, you just created more problems. And that's all that anybody ever does. Every time they try to fix a problem, all they do is make more problems. You ever notice that? That's our politicians today. I don't care if you don't like the message. I'm having a good time. I'm getting this off my chest. Amen. Listen, the politicians of today, that's what they're doing. Every time they're giving an answer to a problem, you know what they're doing? They're creating more problems. That's all they're doing. They don't even know what the problem is. We can fix the problems. We have money. And money will fix all the problems. And so we get ourselves $17 trillion in debt as a country. We'll never get out of it. We'll pass all that on to our children and their children. 17-something trillion dollars in debt? You crazy? Trillion? But that was the answer. Really, was it fixed so far? You see, they don't even know what the problem is. How are they going to fix it? You can't fix the problem if you can't identify what the problem is. That Bible says to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know what the Lord did in my life? He had to make me hungry enough to look to the real answer. That's the problem. You ever notice that? Man wants to look everywhere else, trying to come up with a new problem or a new solution to the wrong problem. The problem is sin. The answer is Jesus Christ. And nothing deep about this message, is there? The problem you have is sin. The answer to your problem is Jesus Christ. I found the answer. Amen. But first I had to identify the problem. Listen, you know what a lot of people are doing out there today? Help me out now. Help me out. Somebody amen something there this morning. Now listen. Thank you. I didn't even go yet, but all right, good. I appreciate the help. You got religion. You got so many quote-unquote Christians out there today. You know what they're doing? They're all out there saying, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. That's our job, is to tell you Jesus is the answer. But they're not telling them the problem. And so they're getting the Jesus, but it ain't the Jesus for the problem. Because they don't want to be negative and tell you, you have a problem, it's sin, and Jesus is the answer to your problem, sin. No, your problem is coping skills, and Jesus is the answer to your coping skills. Your problem is your family, and Jesus is the answer for your family. It don't work that way. See? If someone's truly going to be born again, if they're truly going to be saved and receive Jesus Christ, they have to do it for the right reason. And the reason is you've got a problem. And the problem that you have, the problem that I have, the problem that every human being that comes into this world has, is a sin problem. And the answer was staring Israel right in the face. And they missed it. Did you ever find from occasion in your life, before you were saved and maybe since, where God has purposely allowed problems into your life so that you would look to the solution? Why does God have to do that with us? Because natural, we don't look in the right place, do we? We're just kind of fumbling around and we're trying to figure it out on our own. We're looking everywhere except where we're supposed to look. We go to every place except for the place we're supposed to go. We ask everyone except God when we got a problem. Lord said, I'm the answer. I'm the answer. What are you looking for? Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you looking for the Savior? Or are you looking for a Savior? You see, a lot of people are looking for a Savior. Any solution to the problem will do. No. There's only one solution to the problem. The problem is sin. The solution is Jesus Christ. You know what they're doing over here in Luke? You know what Jesus warned them about? You know what they're going to end up doing? They're going to grab the solution. You know what the solution is going to be? The Antichrist. The devil. You know what some of you young people are going to end up doing? Somebody's going to come your way and say, look here! Hey, come with us, look there! Here's the answer! We'll have a good time! And he says, you better not follow him. Better not listen to him. You know what many do? They listen to him. They miss the answer. How many have rejected Jesus Christ because of a friend? Because of the buddies that they wanted to hang with? Follow us! Look here! Look there! Lord says, no, you better be ready when the light's given. You better receive it. Follow us! We're going to have a good time. Let's go party, guys! And end up in hell. How many have rejected Jesus Christ because of family members? How many young men because of some young girl? And Jesus says, I'll save you. I'll give you eternal life. And the response is something like, well, all right, well, listen. You need to go talk to my neighbor down the street. He's a lot worse than me. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the response is something like, well, I believe there's many paths to enlightenment and everybody has their own way and I don't think we can be too dogmatic and nobody can know anything for sure. Jesus says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, you know, that's your interpretation. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, I'm just not ready right now. I don't have the right feeling. Reject them. Reject them. Reject them. What did he say? I'll be rejected of this generation. How could they? The answer was right in front of them. They rejected the answer. You go to the doctor. Doctor, what is it? Well, you got cancer. But I can cure you. Oh, no thanks. What? The Lord comes to man and he says, I've come to fix your problem. I've come that they might have life. I'm come into the world to give light. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'll forgive you of all of your sins. I'll give you the free gift of eternal life. All you have to do is receive me. And what does man do? Answer was right in front of him. Rejected it. How's that going to end up for him? How'd that end up for Israel the last 2,000 years? How do you think it'll end up for you if you reject him? Look with me there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I was that kid going up. Listen, I know it may surprise some of you, but when I was young, I was short. I know, it's a shock. I understand. What are you laughing at? All right. Any young person in here that's in sixth grade, stand up. Any young person in sixth grade, if you're in sixth grade, would you please stand up? Jason, you're in sixth grade? You're in sixth grade? You're in sixth grade? You're in sixth grade? All of you are in sixth grade. Randy, what grade are you in?
He's in fifth.
He's in fifth grade? You're in fifth grade? My. I knew it was something like that. I thought it was in sixth. Randy, stand up. How tall are you, son? All right. He's 5 foot? Something like that? In sixth grade, how tall are you? You don't know? I should have brought a measuring stick with me here. How tall are you? Do you know? Any of you know how tall you are? You don't keep track of that? I used to keep track of that all the time when I was young. I don't know why. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Wish man by taking thought can add to his stature, right? Well, you know, in sixth grade, I was 3 foot tall. Don't you laugh at my disability? Or no, 4 foot. Yeah, 4 foot tall. Now see that? Now 4 feet doesn't seem that bad, does it? What's 4 feet? How tall are you, Angel? Stretch? 4'11". Get up here. Stand up for a minute. You are not... Okay, sit down. All right. When he was... I was 4 foot tall. You would have been like towering over me in sixth grade. Now, by the time I got in the ninth grade, I was 5 foot tall. I shot up. You may be seated. Why was I saying all that? There was a reason. Because of that, when we play, I was kind of like a little Jaron, you know. I noticed that with Jaron. We play football. Everybody's picking everybody. You know who the last person they pick is? The short guy. That's how I would be the last person they pick. Why are you laughing at that? Okay. You sat in the U all the time too? Okay. Yeah, it's not fun, is it, being the last one picked? Right? Everybody pick everyone, and then they pick me. But you know what my goal was? After 3 or 4 weeks of that, I wasn't the last one picked anymore. I seen that with Jaron. They picked Jaron. The little kid picked him last. Now, next game they're playing, I want Jaron on my team. Amen. Because they realize it's more than just how tall you are when it comes to playing some of their sports and stuff, see? So there, nah. All right, anyway. Right, so I didn't like being rejected like that. You know, always being the last. They pick everybody but me. I've been there. So I know how that feels. If anybody like that, if you feel like that, I know how you feel. And I could care less. Quit whining. Amen. Now, the point of that is, what do you think the Lord feels like? When He knows that He's the one that has the answer. And everybody, every time, here you go, here I am, here I am. Reject Him. There's got to be another way. I look for something else. I mean, I'll just get me some drugs and I'll feel better. And I'll get drunk and I'll feel better and I won't have to think about this. I'm the answer. He is the answer. And so look what's going to happen. This is what the Bible says happened here in 2 Thessalonians. You got it? Look at chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? Those that have rejected the answer. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. Now look over in chapter 2. Here's the problem. Look, chapter 2. And beginning in verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that He might be revealed in His time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked, there's the Antichrist, then shall that wicked be revealed. You know who this world is going to receive? The Antichrist. You know why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. If you haven't rejected Jesus Christ and you're saved, you get to go out of here in the rapture when the Lord comes. And I'm hoping it's real, real soon. And we'll be gone. But if you reject it, then you're left here. And instead of receiving Christ, you'll receive the Antichrist. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, capital W, whom the Lord shall consume, thank God, when He comes back, with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now watch it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God provided the answer to the problem. And they rejected the answer. And so He says in verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why you reject Christ. That's why you've rejected the answer. You're still trying to enjoy that sin. Instead of seeing that that sin is the problem. That's what separated you from God. That's what kills. That's what destroys. That's our common enemy. And the answer, and the only answer, is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Look with me in Acts chapter 17, and we'll be done. Acts 17. That Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Listen. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. I get burdened when I hand out tracts and somebody says, nah, burdens me, you know. I'm almost tempted sometimes to get in the flesh. I got to fight it. I do. I see someone turning down Jesus Christ and I'm just like, you idiot. That's the answer. And they don't see it. They don't see the answer. And it's frustrating. You know what you have to do? You just have to love them. You just have to be patient. You just have to keep offering. Keep offering. That's what the Lord does. That's what the Lord did to me. I'm glad He offered Himself more than one time. I sure would have been in trouble. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. And He just continued to offer. And just continued to offer. Just continued to present. But you keep rejecting. And you keep rejecting. There is no other answer. In one day, the time to receive is over. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man, his thoughts. Let him return to our God. He will have mercy. And to our Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. There's the answer. Will you reject the answer again? There's only one answer. There's only one problem. Everything else is just an offshoot of that. If anything's ever going to get fixed in your life, if anything's ever going to get fixed in your home, if anything's ever going to get fixed in this country, the issue must be dealt with. And the issue is sin. And the cure is Jesus Christ. Now look with me in Acts chapter 17 as the Apostle Paul presented the answer to the Gentile world. He says in verse 23, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." They didn't know the answer. "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation," watch it, "that they should seek the Lord." Why? "If happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." Where was the answer? It's not far. The answer is right in front of you. You know what the problem is. You know what the solution is. And the Lord ain't far from you right now. Right now, the Lord can save you. Right now, the Lord can restore you. Right now, the Lord can forgive you of all of your sins and fix that sin problem. But He can't do anything until you're willing to come to Him. You can receive the answer. Israel had the answer to all their problems right in front of them. And they missed it. Don't miss it. The answer is Jesus Christ. And He's not far. If you'll call upon Him, let's stand for prayer. Sister Tammy, if you can come and play.